All right, let's head on over to 2 Samuel. Anybody know where we're at tonight? 2 Samuel chapter, very close, 17. Yeah, getting ready to finish this book up in a couple of weeks. Yeah, so that's going to be trying to figure out where we're going to be going after this is can be interesting, but 1 and 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 17, we're going to open up in prayer and then get started. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for the food and fellowship tonight, and I just pray that you bless that food to our body and bless your word to our soul, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So 2 Samuel chapter 17, David is now in that place where he is leaving Jerusalem because now there's a hostile takeover with his son Absalom. And have you guys been learning a lot through 1 and 2 Samuel? I have. I've been seeing David in such a different light, and Samuel and Saul, and just how the pieces kind of fit together. And now when we go into 17, David's on his way out of Jerusalem because now Absalom, he stole the hearts of the people, is what the Bible said. And he's created this takeover. And what David did, what we saw last week, is that he left because he's more concerned about the people than his power in Jerusalem. And he didn't want innocent casualties. So he gets out and he leaves. And then there's this man, Hushai, that loves David, cares for David, and is on David's team. He was a counselor to David. And so when Hushai comes to David, he goes, I just want to, you know, wherever you go, whatever you go through, whatever happens, I'm on your team, and I'm here for you. And what David did is he sent Hushai back to Jerusalem to counsel Absalom. And so you guys remember in 2 Samuel chapter 16, verse 16, when Hushai goes back to Absalom, and Absalom's like, what are you doing here? Like, is this how you're going to, this is how you deal with your friends? Like, why aren't you with King David? And Hushai is there on secret mission. So he's like a spy. And he's there because him and David talked about it. And David said, whatever you hear from Absalom, whatever you hear from Ahithophel, because Ahithophel's the other counselor, he's like, you go ahead and bring all that word back to me and let me know what's going on. So when Hushai was there, he's saying to Absalom, long live the king. But he's thinking, David, long live the king. David, long live the king. But he's thinking in his heart, David, the whole time, because he's there on secret mission. And it's kind of interesting because Hushai is, he's lying through his teeth about his loyalty and what he's actually doing there. And the reality of it is he's just being a good spy. And so he is lying, but he's doing it under the commission of David. Could you guys imagine if he was there spying and telling the truth about everything to Absalom? Hey, what's up? I'm here. I'm just going to tell David everything that you're doing, take it back to him, and see what happens. He'd be dead. So as he's there with Absalom, he's counseling Absalom. He's acting like he's on Absalom's team, but he's there really for David. And then there's Ahithophel, and Ahithophel is going to be the next guy that's counseling David. And so Ahithophel, what we saw last week on Sunday, gave Absalom counsel about what to do about his father David. So when Absalom says, well, what's the next step I should take in this takeover? Ahithophel told Absalom, here's what you do. Take your dad's girlfriends up to the roof and have sex with all of them in front of all of Israel. And then they'll know that you're serious against your father. In other words, if you do this act right here, people are going to know that this was much more than you just getting in trouble for taking the keys to the car, or maybe you didn't come home on time or whatever. This is going to show them that this goes way beyond a family feud, that you hate your dad, that you want your dad dead. and it's going to prove that you're establishing yourself as the king over all of Israel. And so now in chapter 17, verse 1, it says that, moreover, Ahithophel said to Absalom, now let me choose 12,000 men and I'll arise and pursue your father David tonight. And I'll come upon him while he's weary and weak and make him afraid. And all the people who are with him will flee, and I will strike only the king. And then I'll bring back all the people to you when I'll return, except the man whom you seek. And all the people will be at peace. And the saying pleased Absalom. And so Ahithophel gives a plan of attack to go after David. And it was interesting when he said, I will go after the king. And it's interesting to me that he said that, because who's supposed to be the king right here? Absalom. But the reality of it is that they know that this is all messed up, that this is a con job, and that Absalom is not the rightful king. This is not the king that David, that God chose. David was that king. So when Ahithophel says, yeah, we're going to go after the king, that was kind of like a mess up on his part. He should have said, I'm just going to go after David. But he gives Absalom advice on what to do, and he says that he's going to go in and take care of David himself. Now, here's the interesting thing about it, you guys. It's a good advice. It's smart. And the reason why is because if they attack David now, if they go after him this night, and it's Ahithophel leading, by the way, not Absalom, he says, I will go and lead. I'll take 12,000 troops. We'll go in there tonight. It was smart. David was spent. He was tired. He was betrayed. He was hurt. He was weak. And so if you're going to attack David, this is the time to attack him, because he's so tired and spent. It would be a for sure victory. So listen, keep this in the back of your mind. This is good. This is good counsel. It's smart to do to David, especially at this time because of the position David's in. But this is what Absalom does when he hears the advice from Ahithophel. he asked for advice from Hushai. It says then in verse 5, Absalom said, now call Hushai the Archite also, and let us hear what he says too. And when Hushai came to Absalom, Absalom spoke to him, saying, Ahithophel has spoken in this manner. What shall we do? Shall we do as he says? If not, speak up. And so Hushai said to Absalom, the advice that Ahithophel has given is not good at this time. For said Hushai, you know, your father and his men, they're mighty men, and they're enraged in their minds like a bear robbed of her cubs in the field. And your father's a man of war and will not camp with the people. And surely by now he's hidden in some pit or some other place. And it will be that when some of them are overthrown at the first, that whoever hears it will say, there's a slaughter among the people who follow Absalom. And even he who is valiant, whose heart is like the heart of a lion, will melt completely. For all Israel knows that your father is a mighty man, and those who are with him are valiant men. And so Absalom gets Hushai, and he asks him some questions. And so when Absalom was asking advice from Ahithophel, he typically never asked for a second opinion. In fact, you guys remember when he asked about what he should do with his father's girlfriends, and he's like, yeah, you need to take them all up on the roof. He was like, okay, I'll go with it. And he never really questioned Ahithophel's advice. In fact, nobody questioned Ahithophel's advice or counsel, because this guy was like Siri. He was like a Siri 2,000 years ago, where if you had a question, he's like an oracle. You just ask this guy. He had so much wisdom that people even put his wisdom on par with God. So if there was a situation and somebody was like, you know what, you need to pray about it, they'd say, you know what, but just go to Ahithophel. Like, you don't even need to go to God. You can just go to Ahithophel, because this guy's going to give you right counsel. It said that when Ahithophel spoke, it was like he was an oracle of God. He was like a modern day Siri. You ask this guy something, he's going to pump out the right answer after right after after right answer. And so when Ahithophel gives Absalom counsel and he says, we need to go tonight and go after your dad and make it happen tonight. That was great advice, you guys. That was perfect advice, because that would have been totally successful. And what's happening here is David's prayer, when I believe it was in chapter maybe 15, when David prayed, what we're seeing here is his prayer back in chapter 15 or 16 played out. When David prayed, you remember when Hushai went to David and David said, man, go back and give counsel to Absalom. And then he prayed, God, may you confuse the counsel of Ahithophel. May it be his foolishness. Do you guys remember when David prayed that prayer about Ahithophel? And so now when Hushai goes back there, the counsel that normally everybody would just turn to as gospel truth whenever they would ask Ahithophel, now they're second guessing Ahithophel. And this is what's interesting. I thought about this. So Absalom is taking advice from Ahithophel and Hushai. And what Absalom is doing is now he's doing the things he shouldn't be doing, and he's not doing the things he should be doing. And the reason why is because David prayed that everything would be foolishness when it came to this counsel. So when I say Absalom's doing the things he shouldn't be doing, when Ahithophel says, sleep with your dad's girlfriends, he's like, okay, cool, and he does it. And then when Ahithophel says, hey, we need to go tonight, which they should have, he rejects it. And this is all part of God's plan, because when David prayed, now everything that Ahithophel's saying, it's like, if it's true, they don't listen. If it's not true, they do listen. And everything's mixed up. And here's the point in this, that David didn't have anything in this fight. And this is so important for us. He wasn't charismatic. He wasn't young anymore. He's like 60 years old. He's not strong anymore. He doesn't have a lot of resources anymore. Absalom is much younger, stronger, has more resources, is more charismatic. But the one thing that David had that Absalom didn't have was the power of prayer. That's all David had, was prayer. That's it. And sometimes I think about when we're in those places, you guys, and we don't have a lot, we always have prayer. We always have the power of prayer. And it's convicting to me, because I don't pray often as I should. I mean, I do in the mornings before I study the scriptures a little bit, and I do at night. You know, I pray over my family and this and that. But, you know, God wants to walk with us on a deeper level. And even if we don't feel like we're in those seasons, you guys, where we have a lot of faith to get through what we're going through, we still got prayer. Or maybe we don't feel like we're smart enough to handle the situation at hand. We're confused. We lack direction. We lack wisdom. God, what's going on? What are we to do? How are we to do it? Where are we going? How are we going to get there? It's in those situations that this passage right here should come to our remembrance, that it didn't matter what David didn't have. It mattered what he did, and it was prayer, and it was powerful. And what it does is it comes and it takes root, and it shows that everything, he's like, man, David prayed against it all, and now it's all falling apart. And so Hushai in verse 7 says, the advice that Ahithophel has given is not good at this time, which is crazy, because nobody ever said that about Ahithophel. And I wonder if Hushai was thinking, man, if Absalom goes with Ahithophel's advice, David's a dead man. Hushai loves David. It's his friend. They go through life together. And he's thinking, oh man, I've got to do something quick. And this guy's quick on his feet. Sometimes, you know, you meet people and they get in arguments and they know what to say like that quick. And then other times there's other people when they get in arguments or they're put on the spot and they leave and they're like, man, I wish I would have said this, or I wish I would have said that. Or it comes to you like an hour later. So he's on the spot and he's got to think of something quick. And he's like, man, I gotta do something about this advice, because it is good advice. And if he hears it, David's going to end up dead. And so this is what he says to Absalom and Ahithophel. He says, man, that's just not good advice right now. And the reason why is because, you know, your father, he's a man of war. He is strong. He is crazy. He's like a bear that's got rabies, where her babies have been taken out, and he's probably holed up somewhere, and he's waiting for you. He's going to come out that hole. He's going to kill you all. Your dad is nuts, and you know it. Now, what's funny about that is it's true, right? Sort of. David is a killer. David is a hardcore Navy SEAL, ultimate UFC fighter, kill you dead. He was. He's 60 years old now, but he's still tough. But here's the thing about it. Is that true of David right now? Absolutely not, is it? When we looked at David's condition on Sunday or last week, I can't remember because I'm teaching like, it's like bam, 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 bam. We just got to kind of like remember. But do you remember the state that David was in when his friends came to minister to him when he left? It said he was crying. He was broken. He was weak over his son. He was like weeping over the whole situation. He's exhausted. He's depressed. He's anything but what Hushai is saying right here. So Hushai, he's helping David out. He's like, man, I'm telling you what, boy, your dad's ready to fight. No, he wasn't. He's not even ready. He's exhausted. But he's a good friend. Hushai is a good friend. And he's going to try and buy some time for David. In verse 11, it says, therefore, I advise that all Israel be fully gathered to you. From Dan to Beersheba, like the sand that's in the sea by the multitude, that you go into battle in person. And so we will come upon him in some place where he may be found, and we'll fall on David as the dew falls on the ground. And of him and all the men who are with him, there shall not be one left, so much as one. Moreover, if he is withdrawn into a city, then all Israel shall bring its ropes to that city, and we will pull it to the river until there is not one small stone found there. And so Hushai tells Absalom, instead of just taking Ahithophel's advice of going tonight, taking 12,000 men, because that's all it would have taken. They would have killed David with that easily, easily. And Ahithophel also said, I will go and lead those 12,000 men. But here he tells Absalom, Hushai tells Absalom, he says, you know what? Forget that. Instead, let's do this. Instead of 12,000 people, let's get over 100,000 people. And not only get 100,000 people, but instead of Ahithophel leading them against David, how about you do it? How about you go against your dad? Because you know what? That's going to trend. Like people are going to be all over this. And what do we know about Absalom? He's super prideful. He's super vain. And so what is Hushai doing? He's appealing to this guy's pride. Because it's at this point where Absalom goes into having a fantasy. Oh, yeah. You remember how Guy said he looked like Fabio? Who knows of Fabio besides Guy and old people? Does anybody else know of Fabio? Oh, you guys do? Okay, cool. So not Fabio today, because he's kind of like Flabio. But back in the day, they used to have Fabio on all the, all the books that you'd go to the market, and they'd be all, you know, like wearing a cowboy hat, no shirt, and all this weird stuff. So Absalom's having a fantasy. He's like, yeah, me on my donkey. And my long black hair, leading 100,000 people against David. Yeah, yeah, that's a good idea. And so his pride is gonna mess him up. It says that it said that it sounded good to him. Now you guys got to remember something about Absalom. This boy, he's no fighter. His dad's a fighter. His dad's a killer. You know who Absalom is? He was the boy born with the silver spoon in his mouth. He was the boy that never had calluses on his hands or, you know, got filthy at work. Ever. He's the rich kid that's been given everything, so he thinks that he's got this image in his head of somebody he's not. He's not a warrior. He's just a rich kid that's had everything handed to him. So when Hushai tells him, you need to lead the battle. Now you see Hushai is doing some things. Now here's the cool thing about it. Hushai is saying, get all these people together. Because when I read that at first, I thought, man, Hushai, you're supposed to be on David's team. If Ahithophel said, I'm just going to take 12,000, why are you commanding over 100,000? And because that's going to be a total, they're going to obliterate, they're going to just destroy this guy. But what Hushai knows is that it's going to take time, that they're going to have to organize, that they're going to have to plan. This is going to have to take days, weeks, months to organize. So it buys time for David. It's pretty smart. And so in verse, it says, so Absalom in verse 14, and all the men of Israel said, the advice of Hushai the Archite is better than the advice of Ahithophel. For the Lord has proposed to defeat the good advice of Ahithophel to the intent that the Lord might bring disaster on Absalom. And so it says the advice of Hushai is better than Ahithophel. And we know that that was the first time that anyone had ever said that about him. And so now what we see is Hushai is going to send messengers to David about the plan to protect him. And what's humbling about this, you guys, and what we see about God when we look at this and we're like, what do I learn about God? God is going to take care of David right now. But at the same time, David is going through chastising of the Lord. This is the scripture played out where Nathan the prophet went to David and he said, the sword will not depart from your house. And now we see the consequences of David's adultery, David's murdering of Bathsheba's husband, David's covering it up, all of that stuff. Now we see it. So now when the sword is in David's house and he's on the run, what we see is two things. Number one, he's dealing with consequences and God is chastening David to where we never see him committing adultery again. But number two, and this is the most important thing that we need to remember, because we all will be chastened by God at some point. We must be. The Bible tells us if we're not getting chastened by the Lord, we don't belong to him. So if you belong to God, at some point, he's going to have to mess your stuff up. And it's done out of love. And what we see is that he is still providing for David, even though he's chastising David, which reminds me that even when God chastises us, he still incredibly is madly in love with us at the same time. And it kind of, you know, when you guys with the babies and everything, you know, when my mom, I remember when, you know, I was younger and she would whoop me with the belt. If I was throwing rocks at cars or running out in the street or playing with matches, my mom would take the belt and she would just whoop on me. But at that point, she was doing it because she knew if I kept going down that path that something bad was going to end up happening. And so she would never whoop me with the intent to deliberately cause pain. That wasn't until I was like 13. And then she was like whooping me all the time for sport. You know, what are you doing Friday night? Whooping Jason. But it was like she would do it because that discipline is to teach our kids, listen, you keep going in this direction and you're going to get messed up. But at the same time, we see God's love for David. We see God's love for us. And it's important to submit to that chastising by the Lord when he's doing it and recognize it and say, okay, I know you're not trying to destroy me. Because sometimes if you've ever been in that place where God is chastening you, you know, you have those weird conversations with the Lord like, what are you doing? How far is this going to go? Am I going to make it through this? So God's still providing for David, even though he's chastening him. And so in verse 15, Hushai sends word to David that he's bought some time for him. It says in verse 15 that Hushai said to Zadok and Abiathar the priest, thus and so Ahithophel advised Absalom and the elders of Israel, and thus and so I have advised. Now therefore send quickly and tell David, saying, do not spend this night in the plains of the wilderness, but speedily cross over, lest the king and all the people who are with him be swallowed up. And so Hushai sends help to David and tells him that he needs to get over the river and regroup. And then in verse 17, now Jonathan and Ahimaaz stayed in En-Rogel, for they dared not be seen coming into the city. So a female servant would come and tell them, and they would go and tell King David. And nevertheless, a lad saw them and told Absalom. But both of them went away quickly and came to a man's house in Bahurim, who had a well in his court, and they went down into it. And then the woman took and spread the covering over the well's mouth, and she spread grain on it, and the thing was not known. And when Absalom's servants came to the woman at the house, they said, where is Ahimaaz and Jonathan? And so the woman said to them, they've gone over the water brook. And when they had searched and could not find them, they returned to Jerusalem. And now it came to pass that after they had departed, that they came up out of the well, and they went and they told King David and said to David, arise, cross over the water quickly, for thus Ahithophel has advised against you. And so David and all the people who were with him arose, and they crossed over the Jordan by morning light. Not one of them was left who had not gone over the Jordan. And so Jonathan and Ahimaaz, there's still people in the area that are on David's team. Not everybody has signed up with Absalom. Most people have. And there's going to be a humbling situation that comes up in the next chapter. Do you guys remember that one guy, that crazy guy, Shimei, that was kicking up dirt and rocks and throwing it on David and cussing him out and all this stuff? All these people, David's going to be coming back in, and all these people that turned on David, all these people that are throwing rocks on David, there's coming a time where David's going to be coming back in, and man, we're going to see the biggest cake fest where these guys are eating so much humble pie coming back to David. But there's a few people that haven't signed up with Absalom and what he's doing, where they think that Absalom is in the wrong and that what he's doing to his dad isn't right. And so David and all the people, it said, who were with him arose and they crossed over. Again, God is providing for David. It's at the same time, he's chastening David. And it says in verse 23, now when Ahithophel saw that his advice was not followed, he saddled his donkey. He arose and he went home to his house to the city. And then he put his household in order and he went and he hung himself and he died. And he was buried in his father's tomb. And so Ahithophel finds out that they're going to reject his advice and go with what Hushai said. And he goes and he kills himself. And the reason why he goes and he kills himself is not because at this time he's feeling sorry for himself, like, man, nobody's listening to me anymore. I was like on top and everybody respected me. Everybody listened to me. But now, you know, I say something, they're not listening. His feelings are all hurt, feeling sorry for himself. He knows. He knows it's over. The plan was to go in that night and kill David. It would have succeeded. He hears this and he's like, Absalom's not going to be able to kill David. There's no way. This whole thing's going to fail. And when this whole thing fails, he knew that he was going to be implicated in the conspiracy against David. And so the only thing he can do is go and hang himself. You know what I put on the side there that the Lord was speaking to me? Is that Ahithophel's bitterness didn't end up killing David. It ended up killing him. That's nuts. I got that in my Bible. I was like, that's crazy. It killed him, not David. And so now in verse 24, it says, then David went to Mahanaim, and Absalom crossed over the Jordan, and he and all his men of Israel with him. And Absalom made Amasa captain over the army instead of Joab. But you know what's interesting? He makes this guy captain to go against David, but after this whole thing's settled, David's going to then make this guy captain over his army instead of Joab. Like, nobody wants Joab being in charge. because Joab's a pistol. This, and you know what? I'll tell you what. I like Joab. I really do. I like Joab. I think Joab was a solid dude. I really do. He had David's back. He fought hard. He was shrewd. He stuck to the plan. And you know what? I just don't think he got enough recognition. I really don't. I think he got a little crazy at times, but that was his job. And you know what? When Solomon ends up becoming king, you know what David told Solomon? I want you to kill Joab. That's pretty messed up. I think it's messed up. This guy had David's back through thick and thin, would go in and conquer a city, and then right before the last person was to fall, he'd go and tell David, you better march in there on your horse, because if I finish this last guy off, they're going to name this city Joab instead of name it David. So I've done it all. You just go in there and kill that last person, and they're going to say, oh, hail David, how good he is. Let's name this David. Yeah, because he came and conquered it. No, he didn't. Joab did. But what's interesting is Absalom tells this guy, Amasa, that he wants him to be the leader of the army. And then when this is all said and done, David's going to be cool to the guy that was coming against him. He's like, you know what? I know you're trying to kill me, but I like you. I'll tell you what. How about you be king? And so, but Joab's going to get revenge. Spoiler alert. Who do you think kills Absalom? What? Who kills Absalom? You? Come on, you guys. You don't know who kills Absalom? This encourages me that you don't know, because it reminds me I got to teach you still. Who killed him? Joab. Joab killed him. Kills him. So there's a gnarly plot going on here. So it's because, like, David's done with Joab. Everybody's done with Joab. And Joab's going to end up killing Absalom. But it says that in verse 25, then Absalom made Amasa captain of the army instead of Joab. This Amasa was the son of a man. And this is so weird. I don't know why they just don't call this guy like David's nephew. It says, this Amasa was the son of a man whose name was Jethro, an Israelite, who had gone into Abigail, the daughter of Nahash, sister of Zariah, Joab's mother. And so Israel and Absalom encamped in the land of Gilead. So the guy is like David's like nephew or cousin, okay? But I don't know why they go all into that. So Absalom crossed over his fantasy of coming in with his long black flowing hair on his donkeys materializing. He's so stupid. This guy doesn't have a clue as to what he's a rich kid that gets, like, you know, a brand new motorcycle, doesn't know how to ride it, and just flips it all the time. He's going in on this donkey thinking he's going to ride in there, but it's going to flip on him. And it says in verse 27, now it happened that when David came to Maham, that Shobai, the son of Nahash from Rabbah of the people of Ammon, and Machir, the son of Amiel from Lodabar, and Barzillai, the Gileadite from Rogelim, brought beads and basins, earthen vessels, wheat, barley, and flour, and parched grain and beans, lentils, parched seeds, honey and curds, sheep and cheese of the herd, for David and the people who were with him to eat. For they said, the people are hungry, weary, and thirsty in the wilderness. And that's where we will close. So these three guys go out and they know that the king is out there, and they want to minister to the king. They want to serve the king. They're bringing, and the Bible gives us every little detail down to beans. They even brought beans, like the least of things. And what's cool about that is that Shobai, that he came out and he helped, and that it's even interesting that he's mentioned, because he was the son of Nahash and he was the brother of Hanan. And you guys remember who Hanan was, because Hanan's dad died. David sent ambassadors. And when those ambassadors went to say, hey, You know, our King David wants to say, sorry about your dad's death. We're here to help. What can we do? And Hanan shaved off half their beards, cut their robes down to their buttocks, and sent them out in high heels. Do you remember that story where he embarrassed them? That was Shobai's brother. And what's interesting is that Shobai could have said, you killed my family, you disrespected my people, I'm not coming out there to help you in your time of need. But he still goes out there and he helps David. And then the other guy, Machir, is the man who cared for Mephibosheth when he was out in Lodabar. Lodabar means pastureless places. It was like the desert where nothing was. And Mephibosheth was out there, and this guy took care of him. And this guy could have told David, I'm not coming to help you. I've been spending all my time with this crippled guy, and nobody's been paying me. Nobody's been paying, you know, helping me out while I've been taking care of Mephibosheth. You can go and do it on your own. Because there was a whole period of time for years where David didn't even know about Mephibosheth, and this guy was taking care of him and nobody else. And then the last guy, Barzillai, in two chapters from now, we're going to see that this guy, he was in his 80s. He's 80 years old. And yet, this is the cool thing that we see about this, you guys, and that's humbling to me, and that as we close this out, that I want to remember, is that all three of these guys had excuses. They had valid excuses on why they wouldn't help, but they looked for excuses on why they should. Each and every one of them. Shobai was like, man, you hurt me. I ain't getting involved with you. The other guy's like, you know what? I just, you know, I'm tired of helping people. Nobody helping me. And then the old guy could have just said, I'm tired. And those are the three excuses that we have. When we're serving our community, like, so we're going to leave tonight, go home and whatever, and then we've got work tomorrow. Be on guard of those three excuses. I don't want to get in somebody's life because they hurt my feelings. That's an easy one to do. Or I don't want to get involved because you know what? They don't help me. I'm not helping them. Or I'm just too tired. I work all the time. I got my schedule. Things are busy and I just don't want to get involved. Those are three legit excuses for sure. But you know what? The Lord says we're his hand and his feet. And so when we're looking at these three excuses, we need to say, hey, listen, which one of these excuses do I use a lot? Do I use the I'm too tired excuse? Do I use the I don't want to get involved because I don't want it to cost me anything more than I've already put out? Or maybe I don't want to help somebody because of how I feel about them. So it's just something to think about this week, you guys, as we close out, that we want to look for excuses to serve the King instead of to not serve. So let's pray and we'll wrap up. Let's do some praise reports. Anybody got a praise report? Anything good happening?